Welcome, and thank you for standing by. All participants will be able to listen only until the question and answer portion of today's conference. At that time, you may press star one on your phone to ask a question. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn your conference over to Mr. Robert Groenendaal. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. Yes, so good afternoon, everyone. This is Rob Groenendaal. I'm with ACL, Administration for Community Living within the Center for Innovation and Partnership. I'm here to discuss the funding opportunity announcement for HHS-2022, ACL-CIP-ATTA-0053. The CFDA number is 93.464. And so just wanted to welcome everyone to this informational call. Section 6 of the Assistive Technology Act authorizes the Department of Health and Human Services, Administration for Community Living, ACL, to fund programs to support national activities for state training and technical assistance for AT programs and national AT public internet site under Section 6B of the Assistive Technology Act to fund a cooperative agreement. So this is the priority, the funding opportunity title. This action assists entities funded under the AT Act to administer and manage their programs in order to improvise and improve, implement performance to enhance information to the public and increase access to an acquisition of AT devices and services for individuals with disabilities across the lifespan. The AT Act requires ACL to support training and technical assistance to the entities funded under the AT Act. Those are entities, the state grant for AT programs funded under Section 4, as well as entities not funded under the AT Act, and to support, again, for this priority, a national AT public internet site, as well as the delivery of technical assistance and training to improve awareness of and access to AT devices and AT services through a grant cooperative agreement or contract. This priority is for a cooperative agreement, and the plan for this is to fund it for a five-year project period, a 12-month 12 months for each project year. So the purpose of the national activity programs is to support those activities designed to improve the administration of the AT Act, which authorized those grants in Section 4, and to support the comprehensive statewide Assistive Technology Act programs within those state and territory AT Act programs. So under this funding opportunity announcement, this FOA, the applicant must address state-specific information requests regarding assistive technology from the entities funded under the AT Act and entities not funded under the AT Act. The requests would also result in effective approaches to federal-state coordination of activities related to improving funding for access to AT devices and services for individuals with disabilities of all ages. Would facilitate access to AT devices and services, focused on regulations and policies, practices, procedures in order to do so. Requests for information on effective approaches to developing, implementing, and evaluating sustaining activities described under Section 4 of this Act, the AT Act. Would be part of the technical assistance and training delivery, in addition to providing information on effective approaches to the development of consumer-controlled systems that increase access to AT devices and services, focus on training for entities funded under the AT Act as well, again, as those public and private entities not funded under the AT Act. Another important category would be to assist targeted individuals and entities by disseminating information about federal, state laws, regulations, policies, practices, procedures and provide technical assistance activities in order to improve inclusion into society, community living, community participation for people with disabilities of all ages. We provide state-specific, regional, and national training and technical assistance concerning AET to, again, those entities mentioned funded under the AET Act, as well as entities not funded under the AET Act. In doing so, annually provide a conference or forum for exchanging information and promoting programs, policy improvements, required activities for those state grant for AET programs. Facilitating on-site and electronic information sharing on emerging topics that have an impact and affect the state grant for AET Act programs. Convene experts from the AET Act programs funded under Section 4. Representatives of organizations who focus on work to enhance the lives of individuals with disabilities, older adults, researchers, developers within the realm of assistive technology, AT vendors, and make recommendations with regard to those national emerging issues to have an impact on the lives of people with disabilities, focus on priority topics to benefit the state AT programs in coordinating the implementation of those training activities, technical assistance activities with the administration for community living. Sharing information on those evidence-based and promising practices across the AET Act programs, state no wrong door systems, aging and disability resource centers, state vocational rehabilitation agencies, early intervention and special education services, Centers for Independent Living, and other programs that address assisting individuals to improve their lives in a number of areas, as well as including addressing social isolation and aging and disability networks. So just across all of the different ways of trying to help folks who may need assistance, even in home modifications, through housing programs, transportation programs, et cetera. Another area would be to reduce the costs of assistive technology through model cooperative volume purchasing mechanisms to leverage knowledge and resources to reduce duplication of similar activities. The successful grantee would be successful in developing highly impactful community partnerships that would assist individuals with disabilities to gain more access points for ease of access to assistive technology devices and services. There are other programs within the priority here that talk about enhancing acquisition of AT devices and services through programs such as Medicaid Money Follows the Person and home and community-based services waivers. Access to experts in the area of banking, micro-lending, and finance for not only individuals with disabilities but also entities funded under the AT Act and other entities to acquire assistive technology. Collaboration at the national and state level, working in coordination with ACL on a number of different activities, including transit administration, promoting and improving accessibility features within those types of mobility organizations, increased awareness and use of assistive technology, focusing on those other ACL-funded technical assistance resource centers, including Housing and Service Resource Center, which is HSRC, Paralysis Resource Center, PRC, Long-Term Service and Support Technical Assistance Center, National Disability Rights Network, NDRN, and others. Also facilitating consumer involvement in the entities funded under the AT Act at the national and state level. Updating and maintaining an accessible national public internet site. And with that site, keying in on availability of information at any time, the site must be developed and designed so that any number of the public, any member of the public may obtain information posted on the site. The site must maintain updated information and provide links to device demonstration programs funded under the AT Act, device loan programs funded under the AT Act, device utilization programs that focus on providing exchange, repair, recycling, or other realization of assistive technology devices, state financing systems, including alternative financing programs operated through or independently of state grant for AT programs, as well as other sources of funding for AT devices, cooperative volume purchasing programs, protection and advocacy for assistive technology programs, the PAT programs, other projects funded under Section 6 of the AT Act, relevant state and federal resources, programs that provide for the increased access to AT devices and services. Within that, there would also be resources, so a library on assistive technology, comprehensive working library on AT for all environments, including home, workplace, education, transportation, that would assist users in the problem definition and selection of appropriate AT devices, services, and resources in order to provide a solution. Information on accommodating individuals with disabilities. So this would key in on evidence-based research, best practices on how AT can be used to accommodate individuals with disabilities in the areas of education, employment, healthcare, community living, telecommunications and information technology, also resources for a number of disabilities, including relating to low-level reading skills, collaborate in developing and providing training and technical assistance with other organizations, such as organizations representing individuals with disabilities, assistive technology programs, agencies engaged in delivery of assistive technology, organizations representing state no wrong door systems, aging and disability resource centers, early intervention and special education services, USEDS, University Centers for Excellence in Developmental Disabilities, Centers for Independent Living, agencies on aging, and other organizations from the aging and disability networks. Tribal organizations serving people with disabilities and older adults. The entity responsible for data collection, recording, and assistance under Section 6 of the AT Act would include plans to increase awareness and use of assistive technology through partnerships at the national, state, and community levels, provide ACL data information, surveys, feedback necessary to evaluate and improve the delivery of technical assistance and training to the ATI program, and revise, redirect activities as necessary. Include plans for evaluating the effectiveness of technical assistance and training for programs funded under the ATI Act, not funded under the ATI Act, as well as enhancing the National Public Internet site. So the statutory authority is Public Law 108-364. This is the Technology Act of 1998 as amended, or the AT Act of 2004. As noted previously, the intent of this discretionary grant competition is to fund a cooperative agreement. The expected number of awards for this priority is one. The stated award floor would be $500,000 per budget period. The award ceiling, $625,000 per budget period. That total estimated funding at the ceiling level for 5 years would be $3,125,000. As noted earlier as well, the length of the project period is expected to be 60-month project period with those 12-month budget periods. Once a cooperative agreement is in place, requests to modify or amend that cooperative agreement or the work plan may be made by ACL or the awardee at any time, as long as it stays within the original confines of the proposed project descriptions. In terms of cost sharing or matching for this priority, there is no cost sharing or matching requirement. For the application screening criteria, in order for an application to be reviewed, there is some screening requirements that are very important to consider. Applications must be submitted electronically through grants.gov. That's http://www.grants.gov, and it would be by 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time on the deadline date, which is June 28, 2022. The project narrative section must be double-spaced on an 8.5 by 11 inch plain white paper. Of course, that is submitted electronically with 1 inch margins on both sides. Would have a standard font size not less than 11, and preferably within a standard format such as Times New Roman or Arial. For this priority, the project narrative must not exceed 35 pages. Those that do so will have the additional pages removed, and only the first 35 pages of that project narrative will be provided to the merit reviewers for consideration. Note that the project work plan, justification, budget narrative, budget template, letters of commitment, letters of support, resumes of key staff, key personnel are not counted as part of the project narrative for the purposes of the 35-page limit. If a problem does exist, if a system problem exists with the submission, the electronic submission of the application, you would want to ensure that there was authentication verification from www.grants.gov, from that system where you're submitting that electronic application, and would have to have that submission error notification and or tracking number in order to substantiate missing that application deadline. Let's just hope that that does not occur. In fact, it's strongly encouraged, I think noted it previously. Hopefully that these applications would be submitted earlier than on the day of the deadline for the application. So aim for 3 to 5 days prior to that, just to be safe and ensure that you have everything submitted on time. The grants.gov registration process can take several days. So if your organization is not currently registered, please begin this process as soon as you can. For assistance with this, it is through grants.gov, again, www.grants.gov. Contact them at support@grants.gov or 800-518-4726 between 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. All applicants must have a UEI and be registered with the system for award management, which is SAM, that is www.sam.gov, and maintain an active SAM registration until the application process is complete for this grant competition. Once your SAM registration is active, allow 1 day to 2 days, 24 hours to 48 hours for the information to be available in grants.gov before you can submit an application through grants.gov. So, and failure to submit the correct EIN, employee identification number, suffix, can lead to delays in identifying your organization and access to funding in the payment management system. So it's important to register in SAM prior to submitting an application, maintain an active SAM registration, and then also provide that UEI number. You must submit all documents electronically, as noted, including all information on the SF-424 and all the necessary assurances and certifications. After you electronically submit your application, you will receive an automatic acknowledgement from grants.gov that contains the grants.gov tracking number. The Administration for Community Living will retrieve your application from grants.gov. So I am the contact person, Robert Grindall, Center for Innovation and Partnership. I am the contact person for this program announcement for this funding opportunity. My email address is robert.grunendahl@acl.hhs.gov. You can see it in the notice itself, robert.grunendahl@acl.hhs.gov. For those entities that plan on submitting a letter of intent, the deadline for doing so is June 3rd, 2022. So that is in a couple of days. Applicants are requested but not required to submit a letter of intent to apply for this funding opportunity. In terms of looking at some of the features of the proposal itself, examining the project narrative, the suggested length for the project narrative is up to 35 pages. Obviously, 35 pages is the maximum length allowed. Want to emphasize the project work plan, letters of commitment, letters of support. Resumes are not counted as part of the project narrative for the purposes of that project narrative limit, which is, again, 35 pages, so stay within that. The sample components of the project narrative counted as a 35-page limit include summary abstract. The section should include a brief, no more than 265 words maximum, description of the proposed project, including goals, objectives, outcomes, products to be developed, problem statement, the nature and scope of the particular problem or issue the proposed intervention is designed to address, goals and objectives, description of the project's goals and major objectives. Proposed intervention should provide a clear and concise description of the intervention, the rationale for achieving that. Note any major barriers you anticipate encountering with your project, how your project will be able to overcome those barriers. Describe the role and makeup of any strategic partnerships you plan to involve in implementing the intervention, including other organizations, supporters, commitments, and groups. Special targeted populations and organizations. This section would describe how you plan to involve organizations in a meaningful way in the planning and implementation of the proposed project. For outcomes, keep the focus of this section on describing what outcomes will be produced by the project. Use the evaluation section noted below in a moment here as a description on how those outcomes will be measured and reported. Project management, this section would include a clear delineation of the roles and responsibilities of project staff, partner organizations, how they will contribute to the project's objectives and outcomes. For evaluation, describe those specific outcomes, methods, techniques, tools that will be used to achieve the anticipated outcomes and goals. For dissemination, should describe the method that will be used to disseminate the project's results and findings in a timely manner. Organizational capacity, each application should include an organizational capacity statement and resumes for key project personnel. Budget narrative justification. The budget narrative justification can be provided using the format included in the document. Budget narrative justification sample format. For the work plan should reflect and be consistent with the project narrative and budget and should cover all 5 years of the project period. Letters of commitment from key participating organizations and agencies include confirmation of the commitments to the project. Those key collaborating organizations and agencies would be included in this part of the application. For applications submitted electronically via grants.gov, signed letters of commitment should be scanned and included as attachments. Applicants unable to scan signed letters of commitment may fax them to ACL, and that would be to Office of Grants Management at 202-357-3467 by the application submission deadline. In your fax, be sure to include the funding opportunity number and your agency name. So for the applications, you know, again, submission dates and times, the due date for applications is June 28th, 2022. Strongly encourage you to submit your application a minimum of 3 days or 5 days even prior to the anticipation of the closing date. If you are submitting your application via grants.gov, you must be designated by your organization as an authorized organization representative, AOR, and register yourself with grants.gov as an AOR. So details on these steps are outlined in grants.gov. You can go to www.grants.gov/web/grants/register/HTML. There are some funding restrictions. Before we get into the funding restrictions, though, just want to make sure I emphasize again that if you're experiencing problems submitting your application through grants.gov, please contact, once again, grants.gov support desk, toll free, 1-800-518-4726. Obtain that grants.gov support desk case number and keep a record of it. So for some of the funding restrictions for this priority and several priorities at HHS and ACL, the following activities are not fundable: construction and or major rehabilitation of buildings, basic research such as scientific or medical experiments, continuation of existing projects without expansion or new and innovative approaches. we can get into some of the criteria. Reviewers of applications have reported that an application written in a format that follows the peer review criteria and contains a separate budget section greatly facilitates the review process. For this priority, the process would appear as follows. It is Section A, project relevance and current need. Section B, approach. Section C, organizational capacity. D, budget. Section E, project impact. Appendices can include work plan, assurances, certifications, resumes, bibliography, letters of support, letters of commitment. For the state training and technical assistance for AT programs and national AT public internet site, there's a maximum of 100 points across the five selection criteria noted. So getting into the project relevance and current need, it's a maximum of 15 points. We look at, does the proposed project clearly and adequately respond to the priority area to improve the effectiveness of entities funded under the AT Act? Does the project describe the need for the dissemination of training and technical assistance to comprehensive statewide AT programs and technology-related assistance to individuals with disabilities? Problem to be addressed, the extent to which the applicant includes a description of the problems to be addressed by the proposed project. Is it justified in terms of the most recent relevant available resources and knowledge to support national activities to improve the administration of the AT Act? The approach section is dense. There's a maximum of 40 points. Methods of addressing the problem, which is 25 points maximum. Does the project represent an exceptional approach to the funding opportunity? The extent to which the design of the proposed project is appropriate to and will address the needs of the state AT programs in conducting the required activities under the AT Act, design for implementing and evaluating the proposed project, information and resources to guide possible replication of project activities. Does the project include relevant and specific expertise of state AT programs funded under Section 4 in the delivery of technical assistance and training, the extent to which the design of the project reflects up-to-date knowledge from effective practices? Does the project include a high-quality plan for project implementation and methodological tools and expertise to ensure successful achievement of project activities? Collaborating with entities to serve individuals with disabilities funded under the AT Act, the extent to which there are those linkages to those other agencies and organizations to do so, services to be provided to meet the needs of the intended recipients or beneficiaries, encourages consumer involvement and continuous improvement, obtaining and using feedback from recipients of the technical assistance and training provided, the extent to which the entities served by the proposed technical assistance project demonstrate support for the project, the training or technical assistance to be provided by the project leads to improvements in practice among recipients of the services. The proposed project involves partners for maximizing the efficiency of strategies and effectiveness of project services. Does the National Public Internet site include a library on AT and resources for people with disabilities and organizations that support them and assist them to increase their awareness of and access to assistive technology, extent to which the applicant plans to use data to inform and enhance technical assistance training? National Public Internet site under this priority. The work plan part of this is a 15 points maximum under this total of 40 points for approach. Our objectives to be achieved in the work plan are clearly specified and measurable, including clearly defined responsibilities for accomplishing project tasks. The work plan to achieve the objectives is on time and within budget. Time commitments of the project director and other key project personnel are appropriate, sufficient to meet the objectives of the proposed project. Moving on to organizational capacity, the total of maximum of 15 points. For the first part of that, project staffing qualifications, this is a 10-point maximum. Do key project personnel have the background, relevant training, experience, and other qualifications required to carry out their roles for the project? Are the roles and responsibilities of project staff partners clearly delineated and linked to specific objectives and tasks? The five-point section here is organization and management. Does the applicant's approach clearly identify the capacity for carrying out the proposed project? Relevance and demonstrate commitment of each partner in the proposed project to the implementation and success of the project. Letters from participating organizations express clear commitment and areas of responsibility consistent with the work plan. For the budget section, that there's a maximum of 15 points. We look at the extent to which the budget is justified. For the administration of the proposed project, time commitment of the proposed project director and other key staff is sufficient to implement the proposed project, assure proper direction of the project. Budget amounts proposed for the personnel are proportionate to other activities given the scope of the proposal. Project impact is 15 points. In that, within that section, there's project outcomes. That's 10 points maximum. Are the proposed outcomes quantifiable and measurable, consistent with the priorities contained in this funding opportunity announcement? Will the outcomes significantly benefit statewide AC programs and individuals with disabilities? Are the expected project results and benefits clear, consistent with the purpose and objectives of this funding opportunity announcement? Project evaluation, 5 points maximum within this, the extent to which the methods of evaluation provide for examining the effectiveness and impact of the project implementation strategies. Methods of evaluation will use annual AT program data and needs assessment surveys to inform technical assistance and training. Methods of evaluation will provide performance feedback and assessment of progress toward achieving intended outcomes. We went through the criteria. Want to note independent review panel of at least three individuals will evaluate applications that pass the screening and meet the responsiveness criteria for this priority. There's information there about these reviewers are experts in their field, drawn from the academic institutions, nonprofit organizations, state and local governments, federal government agencies. Final award decisions will be made by the administrator of the administration for community living. The anticipated project start date for this funding opportunity is September 1, 2022. Successful applicants will receive an electronic notice of award. Unsuccessful applicants are generally notified within 30 days of the final funding decision and will receive a disapproval letter via email. The award is subject to HHS administrative requirements, which can be found in 45 CFR Part 75 and standard terms and conditions included in the notice of award, as well as what is implemented through the HHS grant policy statements. So for reporting frequency, the performance and financial reports be reported, noted within the terms of conditions on the notice of award. I think we can stop at this point and can open it up for questions if anyone has any questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. You will be prompted to record your first and last name. Please unmute your phone when recording your name, and to withdraw your question, press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment.
While we're waiting for questions, I can go over a few of the frequently asked questions. If this is an agreeable time to do so, it may be helpful for some folks in the submission of their applications. One question, at the end of the NOFO, there are instructions for completing the supplemental information for SF-424 form. Not seeing that in grants.gov. Where do we find this form? And is it required for our application? The supplemental information in SF-424 is for applicants submitting proposals that are projects for conducting research on human subjects. This information is not required to complete the application form for this priority, for this funding opportunity announcement, 2022-ACL-CIP-ATTA-0053. Are we able to include any additional attachments that are not requested in the NOFO? That is, there is a funding opportunity or funding opportunity announcement, supplemental information. Answer, additional attachments and or supplemental information not requested in the priority may be submitted in the application package for background and context. Panel reviewers are instructed to review and score applications based on the merits of the required documents contained in the application package. There's another question delineating letters of support for this priority. Are we able to include letters of support along with letters of commitment? There's a focus on letters of support, but letters of support are noted briefly on page 19. So we wanted to confirm that we can include both. The answer to that question is yes.
The operator, I'm showing no phone questions at this time.
So I guess for this process, there will be an FAQ made available. I just went over a couple of them. Don't necessarily have to go over more of them now. Can give back 15 minutes of your time. Look forward to posting of the FAQ, information about this informational call. We just want to remind folks interested in submitting a letter of intent for this funding opportunity announcement to please do so by this Friday, June 3rd, 2028, to Robert Bernendahl at acl.hhs.gov. You can see that my email address is in the funding opportunity announcement. Remind folks, please try to submit your application proposals, packages, 3 to 5 days prior to the June 28, 2022 deadline, which happens to be at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you again for your time, and I wish you all a great rest of your afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you for your participation. Participants, you may disconnect at this time.